grab your glass of wine.
Unless you're driving.
And join us for this week's topic.
Hello, Demericana listeners. Benzie here.
And Wilkes. Hi.
Hello. So, as you guys know, Wilkes and I are very close, and this is kind of our opportunity to get together and catch up during the week, even though we always hang out, even if it doesn't have to do with the podcast. But we all know that Wilkes is like the reality TV junkie / award show fanatic.
True.
And we just came off Grammy season.
Sure did.
And what was one of the biggest moments for you?
Biggest moment for me was how much CBS is the worst.
I didn't see it, so I can't even speak.
Okay, it was a 2.5-hour show. Only about 8 awards got actually handed out on screen. And then it was just like a night riddled with technical difficulties. They made, it's going to be hard to believe, but they made Adele sound pitchy because something about like a mic fell into the piano, so there was like a kind of a weird, like the guitar to All I Ask. She performed All I Ask last night, and so it was offbeat. And it was just like, oh my gosh, Adele's never this bad live. And it was actually, she pulled through, but you could tell where she was like, she was less like, her eyes were just kind of like darting to like the pianist and then like around, and she was just like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, she was like, she tweeted after and was just like, you know, explaining what happened. Mm-hmm. And then,
well, it's funny that you say that because like, even when I'm watching, let's just say like the Thanksgiving Day Parade, I purposefully do not go with anyone other. I think it's NBC that I go with because everyone else, like they never show the parade. All they show is like random soap opera stars,
right?
You know, off in the side. And I'm like, that's not what I'm watching the parade for.
Yeah, no, this time, I don't know. I'm not like that great, I'm not going to say. I don't know if this is the first time CBS has done the Grammys. I'm going to say maybe not. Mm. But this time was just terrible. And it was like it was an all right show.
Yeah.
Bow Wow like introduced the show. He was like the one who was like, okay, time for the Grammy. Host? Yeah, no, kind of like the host before the host. Like he was like, oh, Grammys are starting now, right? But he did that in a minute and a half before it started. So like,
Bow Wow's like so, and maybe I'm wrong, but Bow Wow, I feel like he's so irrelevant right now.
I mean, I think,
did he host it for everyone or was it just for the CBS airing?
It was like kind of like a countdown, like, oh, get ready. You know, like that little bit, like, oh.
Like the pre-Grammy countdown.
Right, so it was just like during the actual, he was in the Staples Center or whatever, inside already, just waiting kind of. And then a minute and a half before, he's like, and it's starting now. Oh, not now. Oh my gosh.
Oh like, my
and then he did it again, like, and it's going to start now. And it was like a minute before. So it was kind of like he was just all off. Then he tried to improvise, but like he didn't know what to say. And it was just like kind of like, ooh, cringeworthy almost. You know, you're just kind of like, oh my God, just play it off, kid. Mm. And then, I don't know. It's just,
and I know, like, part of the appeal is to see the awards, to see, like, the kind of spectacle. You always want to see, like, for me, when I missed it, because they were giving it, and I just chose not to watch it. I was doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, the only thing I'm going to miss is, A, the wonderful performances. I heard that Kendrick was amazing.
Oh, the best, the highlight of the night was,
but then
Kendrick.
I also, like, part of it was like, man, if something crazy happens, I'm going to have to just hear about it on Instagram the next day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's part of the spectacle.
Or me, I'll fill you in.
Right? I can always count on Wilkes. But it's like, that's part of what I miss out on it. So it's almost like touching a little bit on, like, we talked a couple episodes ago about the social media monster.
Yeah.
And how part of it is just, like, the spectacle of people, and kind of themselves making themselves a spectacle.
Right.
So you were saying earlier that, like, they kept panning to Taylor and that was kind of getting you upset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a big fan of Taylor. And I'm not going to lie, her music is catchy. It's catchy.
Yeah.
And so you can't help but sing along. But it's like in every award, not just the Grammys and the MTV Awards and, you know, the People Choice Awards, they put her front and center. So like if she's dancing, they always show her instead of the performer. If someone wins an award, they'll like pan to Taylor, and it's just like, okay, Taylor didn't win the award. Mm-hmm. You know, she has nothing to do with this. She like overshadows whoever wins, because Ed Sheeran won for a Song of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting that for...
Was it We Found Love?
Yeah.
Where I could imagine that one.
And so, she has, like, she's hyperventilating. Like, oh, my God. Oh, crying and hugging him. And he's almost, like, telling her, like, all right, chill. Yeah. You know, like,
Do you think, like, it's a show? Like, she does it so that she can guarantee the camera
everything she does is a veneer to keep her, like, perfect little image up.
Did Kanye do anything crazy? Because we always can
Kanye didn't go.
Oh, I remember he tweeted, like, if I don't win, then I'm not gonna go.
He was nominated for Our Song All Day. He was nominated for that.
We say it's Our Song, side note, because there was this moment at Wilkes' wedding to my cousin that, like, another cousin of ours requested it, and everybody just went nuts.
Yeah.
And it had just come out, and it was just like, what? And so every time that we hear it, that just became, like,
our song. That song is, like, the ultimate part. It's such a great song. It's a good
party song. And it's, like, an unorthodox party song.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, trap or anything crazy, you know?
But. And so, no, he didn't go, which was okay. I mean, he's kind of been in a little bit of his own... He's in his feelings right now.
He's in the ceiling.
Yeah, he needs some time away from the limelight, I think.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a lot of... He's really had a rough couple years, but recently... I feel like right before his kid was born through now, when I say kid, I mean St. West.
Yeah.
Through now, it's been like, some people are really starting to wonder, is this man off his rocker for real, you know?
I don't know. It's like, okay, is he crazy? And he even says in his new album, like, yeah, what genius isn't crazy? Which I can, there's some truth to that.
But okay, not every genius is crazy, and not every crazy person is a genius.
Right.
You know, so... He says that, and you can't take it away from him. He's an amazing producer. Even a lot of his lyrics are like, wow, he's a great lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
But he does say some crazy things that you're just like, oh, God. Like, so you start wondering, do we excuse the crazy because of how talented he is?
Yeah.
Or do we kind of have to, like, separate the two?
Right. And be like, it's like, mm-hmm. Going back to our past episode, the social media one, it's like, well, maybe you should distinguish between, well, I like him as an artist, and I like his
talent,
what he puts out, right? Like the music he puts out, but I don't really necessarily like what goes on behind the song, right? Like behind every lyric is just like, I don't really need to know. I don't need you to come onto Twitter and invade my space now. Like I choose to include you into my rotation and in my playlist, mm-hmm. but don't get into my timeline, right? Like I like Jay-Z. I mean, I'm a diehard. I love Jay-Z. And he's very much, he is never on Twitter, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is on Twitter, it's like, wait, what? Like, mm-hmm. Because I follow a lot of Jay-Z, like, parody Twitter accounts. But there was one with when his Magna Carta album came out, he kind of did, like, a Q&A. And it was, like, for an hour. And he would answer and, like, whatever. And then he was like, all right, this is my 2014 like,
oh, that was like the extent.
That was my quota. And like he hasn't been back since. And it's one of those like, okay, like he did his Q&A, he got in touch with the people, blah blah blah, and then he goes away, right? And it's kind of like nice. But Kanye is kind of just like, whoa, Kanye, don't have this, which it appears to be a mental break on Twitter, because obviously you only get to write a certain amount of characters on a tweet,
mm-hmm.
and they he all come out off, in yeah. order, right? Like, they're not in order. You have to read them, like, bottom up. And so it's kind of like, everything you say on Twitter, it can be misconstrued as, like, go take your meds. Like, you're going nuts.
But you know what it is? Like, Kanye, and we discussed this earlier, Wilkes, he has so many people around him who are depending on him for a paycheck that he just hears yes, yes, yes. He's surrounded with people who are not telling him pump the brakes. And when someone now dares to tell him that, he immediately thinks you're trying to stifle my art. And that sounds like a really angsty teenager thing to say.
It's true. I think he comes across as like a petulant child sometimes. Like the whole thing with Nike. Like only Kanye can completely diss a company, right? Mm-hmm. Like his song Facts. It's completely about comparing Nike, calling them like slave owners, right? Like they pay. And so because Nike said, no, you can't do this with a sneaker. And it's like, if he doesn't get his way, then he does go kind of like, oh,
he doesn't have tantrum. That respect. I think that he legitimately believes he is the greatest artist on earth, and he's not saying like in America or in this genre or of this class or in this time.
Yeah, no, he really thinks he's.
And he know, and he not that he knows it, but he says it, and he legitimately believes it. And so, for someone to tell him that he does not agree, or that they don't agree with his viewpoint, is immediately like, you know, this person's no longer.
But then it's what he wants to do. Well, to be stifled, like he had a really good interview with Jimmy Kimmel once, and it was like, you know, if I tell you I'm not the best, then I'm lying to myself because that's what I think, and like. Okay, we're taught to believe in yourself, right? Like, we're taught to think that you can achieve anything. So maybe he's just got a grander...
No, but the thing is, grandiose. I can tell Wilkes, like, oh, in this area of my life, or in this particular field, or with among this group of people doing this particular task, Wilkes, I know that I'm the best there. But I'm saying that because I trust her and it's within our personal friendship. I don't go on camera and say it so that all of America can hear me kind of sound like an ass, you know?
It's true. It's like, when can we stop passing it off as Kanye just being Kanye, right? Because we've never known him to be another way. He's always said, I'm the best. I mean, hello, he's called himself Yeezus.
Yeah.
Like, he said, he has a song called I Am a God. Like,
he legitimately thinks.
That is his, he thinks he's our,
calls himself a pharaoh. Right, you know?
So
like,
it's, we don't know him any other way, and it's kind of just like, well, do you accept him for what he is, and you just say, okay, whatever, I don't really care about you going crazy. Lauryn Hill went nuts, and like, Erykah, but everybody at one point, they've gone off their rocker.
I think it's just the effect of Hollywood and just the environment that you surround yourself in.
The toxic,
And if you don't think that you are the best in some circles, then they're like, if you don't think you're the best, then you're the worst. Other circles are like, no, you have to be humble. Going back to Taylor, she has this huge shock face whenever she receives an award.
Oh, my God. Again? But then
At first, it was really endearing because you're like, wow, this girl really does not know how great she is or talented. But then it comes to a point where you're like, okay, you cannot be throwing these multi-city shows for over a year and have this girl squad and so many fans and have the best-selling album of the year and still be that surprised.
It just doesn't come... Even that, like, okay, maybe she's... It just doesn't seem genuine. It just doesn't seem like she... Like, I feel like if Adele did that...
It comes off genuine.
It'd be like, oh, okay. Because she's always been like, oh my God, you guys are like, because when you see her do her little performances, she like cries. It's like, wait, why are you guys giving me a standing ovation?
I think the
difference
is that Adele had been gone for so long, whereas Taylor has never not been present. So it's almost like, okay, you've been at this for like 10 years.
I've had enough of Taylor. Like, I need her to like really take 2 years off.
I think
that
can probably do amazing things for her career.
I need her and Calvin to like get married, have three kids. They broke up. Oh, great. Of course. Now that's another album. There we go.
But that's the thing. Like, I feel like people like Taylor, like Kanye, need to take several years away from the limelight.
No. Not Kanye. I'm a Kanye. He's been gone for a couple years.
He hasn't had an album in a little bit, but I'm saying, like, maybe he needs to step back. Because clearly this is a lot of overexposure for him.
He needs his music to just be what is out there right now. Not him tweeting.
Well, it's funny because we jumped into this topic just as kind of like catching up with one another earlier today when we were discussing. But it kind of relates a little bit to what the actual topic of the podcast is.
Which is the drum rolls.
The other kind... Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say it too early? Okay, let's try it again. The other kind of breakup, as I'm sure you guys saw when you clicked on the episode. So what is the other kind of breakup? The other kind of breakup is when you're not breaking up with a significant other, such as a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but it's when you have to make the really heartbreaking decision of breaking up with a friend. And Wilkes and I think, have had different experiences. Our experiences have been slightly varied between one and the other, because for me, it's had to happen several times, not necessarily in a bad way. Sometimes it's been amicable. But I personally have never had this thing where it's like, okay, you and I are no longer friends anymore.
Yeah, like, have the talk.
The talk, you know, where we, like, break up and give each other, you know, our items back or anything.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like this really slow, sad, sometimes really angry drifting apart. True. You know, and so Wilkes, have you had to experience that? I know it happens a lot when we're younger and we're kind of changing.
Yeah, when we're younger, like in high school, I had a couple little like arguments and with friends, and like the only one I can think of in particular is like there was like a misunderstanding between like a joke. My mom is a really big jokester, and she said something like kind of like tongue in cheek to one of my friends, like, oh, you don't like to come over here because we're not high class enough, or like something like silly. Mm-hmm. Something dumb.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she took it in a completely offensive way, and mm-hmm. she made it like, you know, she took it personal, and so she got mad at me, and I'm not the type of person, like, if you're mad at me, I'm not going to come to you and say, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Like, if you have a problem, then you come to me and you tell me. And if we're going to talk about it, okay, we can move on. If not,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So finally she came up and I'm just like, okay, finally you're going to tell me what's wrong. And it was like a big like argument. I'm just like, you're taking something so little and you're making it this big deal. And so it was kind of one of those like, well, it wasn't ever like bad, right? Like, we didn't like fight or anything, mm-hmm. and like we still saw each other in school, and in the reunion that I went to, I saw her and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't, it was just never the same, right? And I just was just like, well, fine, I don't really want to be friends with you anymore.
Yeah, for me, I've had different experiences in different ages of my life. Like, I remember in elementary school, I don't even remember the reason, but I just remember that this one girl and I were really close, and the next thing you know, we just didn't want to sit next to one another. And maybe something happened and I just don't remember.
Yeah.
I think one of my first biggest breakups was I was really close to a group of girls in middle school, and I got upset at one of them, and she was upset with me, and another girl jumped in and called me in my home, and she said a lot of things to me. And it was like another friend of mine who was defending that girl that I had gotten into an argument with. And then the other friend that called me had said such hurtful things that her and I never spoke. But then the girl who I initially had the fight with, her and I actually ended up becoming friends.
Over it, yeah.
You know, so it was like a weird way. And she just hung up the phone and I never spoke to her again. In high school, there was another girl and there was a lot of like competition between us because we were both really good in school. We were both involved in the same extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in that moment, we tried to kind of get over it. Things were said that were very hurtful to me and to her from me and my friends. And funny enough, like a few years ago, I walked into like a store near my home, and she worked there, and she came up to me and we were just talking for like an hour, and it was almost like nothing happened. And it was really cool to see how in high school there was this huge competition to be
yeah.
the best. And then I come back and it was like, she at the time was working in retail, just trying to make it. I was working at my other job before college was over, and I was just trying to make it. And it was like, wow, like we're more similar than we thought. And that's
yeah.
probably why that happened. So that wasn't a breakup in the sense that we were best friends, but it was one of those awkward situations that we confronted and we were able to look back on and say, well, this is silly. But since then I've had other breakups that have been very legit between a friend of mine
mm-hmm.
and myself. And a lot of times, what happens is you grow apart, you know, your ideals change,
sure.
you know, I feel like it's healthy that people should continue to change. And there's a statistic that says that if you've been friends with someone for 7 years or longer,
mm-hmm.
they're typically going to be a lifelong friend, you know, short of course, like a huge falling out
yeah.
or something, you know. This person I never hit 7 years, but we got pretty close.
Oh, what is your longest friendship?
My longest friendship.
See,
I know.
Let me do the math real fast.
I have a friend who I've known her since elementary school, and she lives in a different city. She actually lives in a different country, but she grew up in Orlando. Then she moved to New York, and then now she's in Paris, France. And we still like try to find time to text one another randomly. We tag each other in different things. We never had a falling out. When she comes into town, I try to see her. So I'd say that's my longest friendship. We are not best friends,
mm-hmm.
but I think we're very old friends. So I think that there's a comfort in that, you know?
My oldest friend is she's probably listening. my maid of honor for my wedding. And if I do the math correctly, I met her sophomore year. So that was 05. God, 11 years?
Going on 11.
Going on 11.
Because I graduated high school 10 years ago. That's amazing. So, like, you never, with her, you never had an, like a falling out? Or how have you been able to maintain such a long friendship?
We had, like, a little bit of time where, like, we went to school in different places. But, like, we drifted apart for a little while, but then we came back and it was kind of just like nothing ever happened and no time. And now she's like my sister, really.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and then my other best friend who's probably listening to this now, right?
Shout out to the day one.
I know. We reconnected in reunion. And so we've been friends for what now, like 4 years?
I have some friends who, and they probably hopefully are listening too, who I've been friends with them, like after I graduated high school, I met them, and we've been friends consistently ever since. And yeah, those are the kind of friendships that you grow together.
And yeah, you know, you kind of go, you move into different stages together. Like my best friend, she got married literally a month from when we got married. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we were planning together, and so you kind of grow into these different phases of life, and we're all working now, and so we kind of like, now we're each other's like venting, you know, we'll talk about work, we'll talk about what else is going on. Mm-hmm. And so those are the friendships when you kind of like can grow together, I think.
Yeah, I feel like you go through seasons where you find the people who are going to support you through the season, and then when they're going through their season, you have to be there for them as well. Because a lot of times when it comes to breakups, we tend to blame the other person, but there has to be an ownership, you know, that we take on ourselves. Like, what have I done to hurt this person?
Right.
You know, it's really easy to become selfish when it comes to ending something because that person no longer serves you, but the inverse has to be applied as well. Like, have you been serving the person's life as well, you know?
Right.
So personally, at least, not necessarily that there's only limited to two reasons why you would end a friendship with someone, but two of the major ones are both for selfish reasons, I guess, but one of them I think is more toxic, and it has to be something that you own up to. And for instance, you know, bringing in the whole Kanye situation, mm-hmm. I just read an article where another one of his collaborators, I believe his name is Chase Smith, if I'm not mistaken, he has chosen to no longer work with him, and he even, you know, insinuated that he needs mental help and so forth. And so that's a very public breakup.
Yeah.
But you have to stop and wonder, okay, when that happens with this guy or with any situation, is it because you feel like you're at the end of your rope and this person's beyond help and you're just like, I've tried, I cannot? Or is it more of like a disassociation? Like, I do not want to be involved with the likes of this person. I don't want people to associate.
So look, me. I'm no longer, like a public declaration, like don't ever clump us together.
Yeah, anymore, like right? For your own persona or for your own image, you want to make sure that you're disassociated with them. And when it, I mean, on the smaller scale with just civilians, like I mean,
does that make, that's hard to do, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, well, are you now judgmental, right? Or mm-hmm. is this like, I feel like all my friends are all different. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I forgot my other good friend, my other bridesmaid too. We've been friends for I've had a really long friendship, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been broken up with? Has someone come to you?
I've never been broken
said,
up with. I mean, probably, and I never noticed, maybe.
Mutual thing? Like, all right, fine.
Yeah, I think that there was one friendship where her and I were really close, and at first I was like, wow, this girl's really cool. But then afterward, I just saw certain habits that I did not agree with, mm-hmm. and she actually confronted me about them, and it came down to me going on and on and on about the things I didn't like about our, like, what I saw in her. And then her kind of explaining to me, well, this is why you feel that way, A, B, and C. And I was like, okay. And so we're cordial, you know, but we never got to a place again where it was like we're constantly together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was another friend where I felt like I had to do the breaking up, but I felt it was almost like she was fed up with me before I was fed up with her.
Yeah.
And she started treating me very badly.
Badly.
And then I had to put my foot down and I was like, I'm done. I'm not dealing with this anymore.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the closest I've gotten to someone, like, but I don't think I've ever had someone tell me, I can never be your friend again, ever. I feel like if somebody were to say that to me, I'd be like, okay.
Really?
My own pride, probably. Like, yeah. I wouldn't sit there unless it's, like, someone who I'm like, I know I legit yeah. hurt them. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I really want you in my life. One of my best friends in the world, her and I had a falling out about 2 years ago. And we sat there at a Starbucks in public and just cried. And it wasn't a falling out. That's even intense to say it. It was just disagreements or yeah. miscommunications. But the reason that we stayed as friends, which is key, what you're hearing is actually not wine.
Oh, it's beer.
It's beer today.
Brought to you by Sam Adams Cold Snap.
This is not a sponsored post. I have to say that during every episode.
But maybe.
Maybe, you know? If you're listening. But
Sam,
yeah.
if you're listening.
But, like, with her and I, like, I think the reason that we lasted was because we both put our pride down and we both realized that whatever we were going through meant nothing in comparison to our history
right.
and to our friendship, you know? Why do you think people stay in these friendships for so long?
Like, let's say a toxic friendship one?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's kind of like, I'm gonna, like, a relation. Like, it's, like, one of those that you're just, maybe you think that you can't find another friend, or maybe it's like you've invested so long, you know, so much time into this friendship, where it's almost like maybe you don't even see the toxicness mm-hmm. of it. And so
I have a friend who I feel like, I call her a friend because there's not another word for her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like acquaintance is a little dry, you mm-hmm. know. But it's more like a family connection thing that we have. And we just don't speak very often at all. We can go years without speaking. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the reason that we're still associated with one another is because of a sense of obligation. And it's not a bad thing. But I do know that, at least for me in that situation, not a bad thing. It's just we don't connect all the time. When we do, yeah. it's great. But there are other people who stay stuck in friendships because it's kind of like, this is the only person who's near me, or it's...
That's true.
You know, like, it's the only... I kind of feel obligated to do so because she is the sister of my boyfriend mm-hmm. or something crazy, you know, so you kind of yeah. feel like an obligation to stay in those friendships, and then it's harder to break up with them, you know, if there are, like, other ties.
Oh, if there's other ties, it's, you know, way harder, right? Yeah. Because then...
You're not just severing...
You're not mm-hmm. severing just that... It's not isolated because it's gonna just... It's gonna... go along with, and now it'll make something
it involves
awkward.
Other people,
yeah, and so things like that, like, oh, my friend, you know, my boyfriend's sister, some so and so, it's gonna mm-hmm. be like, well, now how is that gonna affect your relationship with your boyfriend if you don't get along with his sister, right, or something like that.
Well, how about, like, for instance, when you are friends with your boyfriend's friends and there's a breakup that occurs, and then you have to break up with all of those friends as well. You know, like, you always feel like, you know, you always feel like those, the initial friends, they stick with the original person. And
yeah.
it's a huge sign of maturity if you can still be friends. But, you know, it's always going to be
yeah.
like a division, you know?
I've never had to go through something like that.
But it just brings
but
me to
it,
my
But I
mind
can
where,
see
like,
where, like, the conflict would get there. Like, I can see where, I'm trying to think if I'm friends with any of my friends. No. It's kind of like you take it personal, right? Like, when I talk to my friends and we're, like, mad at someone, I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, I thought we hated him. Or, you know, like, it's like always a we,
yeah.
right? We hate that person.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I feel, again, going back to maturity, it can be a sign of maturity if you're like, well, you know, you might not like the person. At least for me, it's like, I know that, you know, I don't know these people. Let's say Sally had a problem with Jane, but Jane never did anything to me. Now, out of solidarity to Sally, I might not be, like, best friends with Jane, but Jane has not done anything
right.
to me.
Right. I mean, it's okay to be... There's a difference with being, like...
Cordial
mm-hmm. and respectful and just, like, you know, a nice and mm-hmm. kind person and just say hi. But you don't now have to go out with this person and go out for drinks and
there's always,
go
like, a
out
sense of
hang
betrayal,
out.
Yeah.
Right, because you're friends with Sally, not... Mm-hmm. What's the other person?
Jane.
Like,
I don't
know
a Sally or a Jane.
So it's kind of just, like... No, you know, I think that's a lot, too, with friendships and good friendships. It's, like, loyalty.
Yeah.
And so I think the breakups, I think there's a good checklist. I think if you're going to break up with someone or if you think, like, you know, in the words of Vicky from Real Housewives of OC, if they're not filling your love tank or like your friendship tank, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're the one who every time you hang out with them, it's more negative than it is good, right? Mm-hmm. Like you guys argue or just like you feel like sarcastic remarks or something like that. Or if it's a friendship that's become a competition and you feel like your one friend is like, oh, yeah, I got this too. Like, and I got it better and I got this, you know.
Like those backhanded kind of like, oh, you got that? Oh, I had that a lot. You never saw the one I purchased?
Yeah.
It's always like snide.
Like, I have that too, or I just got it and it's better. And then, or quite frankly, they don't contribute anything to your life anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be nasty, like the breakup. Like, it doesn't always have to be a result of, like,
a huge
fight. It could just be like, you know, I'm more used to growing out of friendships. Like, I've never really had, besides the one story I said, but, like, have, like, a full-blown cat fight or whatever.
So, like, if you were to run into them, you know that it's just, like, if you run into the person again later, you know that it can be a nice conversation. You probably won't reconnect and invite them to dinner.
Right.
But it's just like, hi, how are you? Catching up was great. Have a wonderful life. And you move on.
Yeah. I think it's better to try to live a life that you don't have to be, like, afraid of running into someone, right? I don't know.
Breakups are just not exhausting. They're very all-consuming sometimes. And, of course, if it's, like, a relationship and it was, like, a rough breakup, that's even worse. And breaking up with a friend tends to be a softer blow because generally when it comes to friend breakups, unless it was a huge falling out, it's easier to drift apart. You don't drift apart from a boyfriend, you know, because you're
expected. Yeah, no, that has to be, like,
you're expected to, like, be, you don't just, like, stop hearing from him.
You're mourning and, you know.
But when it comes through, like, a friend, it's almost like this unspoken understanding, you know.
And
it's an unfortunate reality of being an adult, but it's the kind of breakup that makes, it can eventually, I mean, if you're not careful, it can hurt you, but in many cases, it helps you. It releases you from a past that you think you have to adhere
to. It's like LC from The Hills when she broke up with Heidi, and she says, I'll forgive you, but I'll also forget you, right? Like, I forgive you, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to live with this, like, grudge. But I'm also not gonna, I'm just gonna forget you were my friend, or I'm just gonna forget you and...
Yeah. Looking back, I see certain friendships like that, and I don't think I regret where we've drifted apart, because I'm not the same person. Maybe 22-year-old Liz Benny at that moment regretted it, but looking back, I don't. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's a sign of growing up when you're able to very amicably, and maybe not even amicably, but maturely you know, and move on with your life and just wish them the best. And personally, I don't like reality shows. I know Wilkes loves them.
I love them.
But they're just, and I know it's all,
on TV.
I know it's scripted, but it's like, it's so much cattiness, and then you see them come together again.
Oh, it's so great.
You know, and maybe we live a very sheltered life, or we're just different than other people, because apparently it happens in real life too. People get really catty, and they're just like, forget it, I'm done with you, I'm cutting you off, I can't believe, that's never happened to me to that extent.
No.
But it's just like, I see that on reality TV, and I'm like, man, like, these are grown women, or grown men.
Oh my gosh,
you know?
Kill me if I'm like half of these housewives, like, they're 50 or whatever, and they're legitimately, like, throwing glasses of wine at each other, and it's just like, guys,
but it's like a modern day soap opera.
You have children,
you have children,
like, come on, like, you're fighting over what color you're wearing.
Yeah, and then they see each other again a couple weeks later, and it's kind of like, you guys and that's the problem. Sometimes I can't believe that they actually were in a legit argument.
Yeah,
or like,
I mean, it's like any relationship, right? Like, it's I'm not going to say that once you have a fight with a friend, you should break up with... It's healthy to...
Discuss it.
You know, have an argument, I think. Mm-hmm. And what matters is how you get back from that argument. Are you going to, like, throw underhanded jabs every once in a while?
Are you always going to dig it out?
Yeah, you're going to bring it up, or you're going to have the argument. Then you're going to take a step back, come back to it, and be like, I'm sorry, it was dumb. Mm-hmm. Whatever, talk it out. Or if you're just going to have the argument... And just play nice and be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And kind of just sweep it under the rug until...
Which can also be disastrous, because then you get really mad and you have all this crap that you're dragging out.
And you start pulling out things from, like, 30 years ago on this day.
And, you know, I think, you know, wrapping up today's episode, which we covered a pretty wide array of topics... wrapping up today's episode, at least for me, my dumb moment would have to be several. I mean, I have several, but I can wrap up into about two, which is like, own up to maybe when you've been a bad friend and maybe you've caused a breakup, kind of like I was in one of my friendships. I knew that I was starting to ignore her and I just never confronted it. Took her confronting me. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that was probably a step I should have taken. So own up to when it's no longer something you want to be a part of, or when you're causing this person to no longer want to be a part of your life.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, as again was also my experience, which actually strengthened my friendship with one of my best friends today, you have to decide what's worth it. And to us, our friendship was worth more than whatever cattiness or hurt or annoyances we had in that moment in our life. And it's just made us stronger. And you're either going to stay friends with them forever or you're not. And in our case, I really hope we are.
Yeah. But
I think that's my dumb moment. Know when it's your turn to step up and apologize. And don't be afraid to confront the friend if it's worth fighting for that friendship. But again, don't also be afraid to break up if it's no longer worth
it. Right. That I was going to say, my dumb moment is you have to remember that we choose our friends. Mm-hmm. Right? And
They're the family that you choose.
Yeah, and so if they're not bringing anything into your life, and if you feel, hey, I'm not bringing anything into your life, then maybe we can, you know, it's okay if we kind of start drifting apart.
Yeah.
But
I think a lot of it has to just do with being an adult about the whole situation.
Yeah. It doesn't always have to be nasty. Depending on the situation, of course, because...
I think there's exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
Well, this week we've covered Kanye. We've covered the Grammys. I think we've covered Kanye several times.
I know.
On our podcast. Well, he's giving us a lot of material. Gotta love him.
Love him. You know.
You know, that's the thing. Like, as diehard... certain diehard fans are very supportive. Others are also considering if they're going to...
too. So I don't even know. I can't hate him.
Yeah. And I guess it's one of those things where let's just see what he does next. Let's see what happens with the West Clan. So thank you so much, listeners, for sticking around. We are so appreciative of all your support. Don't forget to send us emails. Hit us up on Instagram, on Twitter. Don't forget that we are looking for topics that come from you. We want to talk about what you want to talk about. So our email is theamericanapodcast@gmail.com.
Right. And then Instagram and Twitter are @theamericana. We also have a blog.
Oh, yes.
That Ben's kind of puts a nice little blog post with the...
Yeah. It kind of gives us your blurbs. Just that way, if you don't have time to listen to the whole podcast, you can go on there, get an idea of what we're talking about. A recap. You can sit with your friends and discuss it amongst yourselves. That's really what we're wanting to do. So.
Yeah, and that's theamericanapodcast.wordpress.com.
And don't forget, last week we actually started talking a little bit about wines. Today I had beer.
Oh yes, today we switched it up a little bit.
But let us know if you guys have
some beer left over from the Super Bowl since football season's over. I'm so sad.
It means nothing to me. No, but let us know if you have any drinks that you like, that you want us to try, that you're like, oh my god, you have to try this one, where we can find it. We'll give you our very amateur reviews.
For now, you'll only get one-sided, because I'm recommending Cold Snap.
It's pretty good. I'm a Dos Equis kind of girl, but it's pretty good. Well, thanks again, listeners. Like I said, hit us up. Thank you.
Bye.